I want to start with some of the breaking news today. Let's start with what President Biden did a little after 5 a.m. today, announcing he's taking 37 people off the federal death row sentence, now reducing those sentences to life in prison. What do you make of this move by President Biden?
This is 37 of 40. This is all but three of the men on death row at the federal level. The president's saying that he has tried to make a statement here and not leave this in the hands of the next president. That his faith and his beliefs that the death penalty is not appropriate, including at the federal level where he has oversight. The cases that he has exempted from this include the synagogue shooting in Pittsburgh, the Tree of Life shooting, the church shooting in South Carolina, and the Boston Marathon bomber. But overwhelmingly, this commutes death penalties to life in prison, making a broader value statement in addition to a very impactful, practical statement for those 37 defendants.
Do you feel like this commutation of the 37 people and the pardon of his son, Hunter Biden, will be the lasting legacy of the Biden presidency?
I think the pardon of his son, Hunter, is going to be part of any legacy discussion, not just because it ran counter to what he was promising, including promising on the campaign trail when he was still the candidate, but because it is so distinctive to pardon your own son of a crime, of a pair of federal crimes on the eve of sentencing is just distinctive. It's just noteworthy. Whether this ends up impacting or damaging his legacy, that's a different conversation, but it being part of his legacy, that seems to be certain now.
To the House Ethics Committee now, which is set to release that report on former Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz today, what do you expect we're going to hear or read in that report that comes out in just a couple hours?
Well, you're going to find a couple things, according to a copy obtained by CBS News. The allegation that Matt Gaetz paid women for sex and also paid for illicit drugs, including from his Capitol Hill office, and that one of the people who assumed the money she was given by Gaetz was for sex was a 17-year-old girl who had just finished her high school junior year, according to the report. Gaetz has denied these accusations unequivocally, and he has said he's been exonerated in a parallel investigation by the Department of Justice. But this report being released is certainly going to impact him as he tries to aspire to other things. I mean, there is going to be a Senate seat potentially opening up in Florida in a matter of weeks if Marco Rubio is confirmed as Secretary of State. The governor's mansion becomes available in a couple of years in Florida, something he's aspired to as well. Let's see how he navigates the release of a House Ethics Committee investigation, if it is as damning as some people suspect it's going to be, to his political future.
Congress passing that stopgap funding on Friday. Do you feel like the legacy of this Congress is going to be how unproductive it was as a whole?
Well, this Congress was absolutely, distinctively broken in a way even unlike recent dysfunctional Congresses have been. That they cut it so close on every bill to keep the government open. That they cut it so close on nearly breaching the debt ceiling. That the Republican majority in the U.S. House just couldn't rally their own vote. And consistently needed Democrats, the minority party, to provide dozens of votes to pass big things, that's just different. That's not the normal muscle memory of the U.S. House. We'll see if that changes in 2025. Even though it's President Trump as opposed to President-elect Trump like it was last week, it's still that narrow majority in the U.S. House that's going to be difficult for them to navigate.
Do you feel like Mike Johnson's job as Speaker of the House could be in jeopardy when the new Congress is sworn in?
Sure do. Last week did not necessarily win him any new support. And with the House Republican majority at just a margin of error, one or two votes on anything, one or two defectors could cost him the speakership. And there's already been one Republican, Thomas Massey of Kentucky, who said he's not going to support Mike Johnson. And Johnson rankled some of Trump's allies last week by not adhering to Trump's wishes that bill they did on Friday night to keep the government open include a suspension of the debt ceiling. Didn't happen. Ticked off some people. We'll see how that manifests itself when it comes time for the speaker vote, which is January 3rd. We're almost there.
Hard to believe, right around the corner. As I let you go, we did see some of President-elect's cabinet picks on Capitol Hill last week trying to drum up some support. What, if anything, came out of those meetings with the senators on the Hill?
I think at this point, the question isn't, will Trump's allies, the Republican senators, support these nominees? It seems, based on the meetings, even with the more controversial ones, that they're on board. But what becomes of the moderate senators, the Republicans who've had a history of defying Trump in the past? And the Democrats have held their fire on people like Pete Hegseth and Tulsi Gabbard. Let's see what they unload when the hearings begin or on the eve of hearings, when they have their meetings with these nominees.
CBS News congressional correspondent Scott McFarland. Scott, always appreciate the time and the perspective. Happy holidays to you and your family.
Same to you.